Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dine on Life Talk Radio Show. We made it to the last segment of our ongoing conversation of stereotypes and myths in relationships. And over the past 2 weeks, we were able to share with you the real-life experiences that either coincides with the stereotypes and myths, or if it just went completely left. So we have a very special guest today as well, Andrea Solomon Burke, and she is a London-based author of the novels Relationships and Forbidden Seduction. Shout out to all of our listeners in London today.
Yes, and I can't wait to dine with her to get her take on stereotypes and myths in relationships. Okay, so we're going to start with this seemingly basic question, but a question that just can't be denied. What is the root of gender stereotypes?
Interesting question indeed.
Right. So this article is from Room to Be Safe. It answers this particular question. So I'm going to begin the quote. Gender stereotypes come from television, movies, song lyrics, parents, friends, and everywhere else that you can think of. Gender stereotypes aren't necessarily negative. They box people into a specific way of acting rather than allowing them to be individuals. We can hold gender stereotypes whether or not we know we do. They affect the way we think about interactions between and within genders. And lastly, we use them to create expectations about how dating partners should act, end quote.
I had to read that a couple of times, and I must say that I do agree, because the stereotype has to come from somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we get it from television, movies, parents, friends, whatever it may be. And it actually does, it kind of boxes us into what we believe we're supposed to be and how we believe we're supposed to act. So, yeah, definitely, I have to agree with that. Not necessarily saying that it's true, but it does take away from individualism, which is almost quite rare these days. So what are your thoughts on it?
Exactly. I agree, too, as far as it does create expectations, especially the last line of that quote, we use them to create expectations about how dating partners should act. A question that I naturally developed from that particular quote is it right? Is gender stereotyping, is it right? Is it accurate? Can people swap gender personalities per se? I think we all are familiar with that song by Usher, Trading Places, and that song talks about swapping with a gender personality, but then going back to what society considers the norm. I think especially with this generation, if we're comparing this to about 2 to 3 generations prior, it was now it's more normal for women to be in the corporate world or having position of power or, you know, just taking more charge versus, you know, a few generations back, when it was more normal for women to be at home and be the homemakers. So another question I think, and everyone who's listening, feel free to chime in by going to our website, blogtalkradio.com/dineonlife, and give us your thoughts on, do you think the gender stereotype, is it right? Is it normal? So I'm curious to read people's thoughts on that.
Yes. All right, now, Dine on Life listeners, I think it's time, it's a great time for us to introduce our special guest for today. This woman is an author, a screenwriter, filmmaker, and her works include the novels Relationships and Forbidden Seduction. Please, let's give a warm welcome to Andrea Solomon Burke.
Good morning, ladies. Although it's evening over here, good morning to you guys over there.
Good morning.
Hello.
So, So we'll jump right into your interview. We're so excited to have you. Andrea, what are the top three stereotypes and myths in relationships that you can think of, and do you believe there is any truth to it?
Okay, first of all, let me say to you both, Felicia and Jasmine, I truly appreciate you ladies for having me on your show. I was quite excited about this, especially being an author of relationships. Although it's based on three women's relationships, it's kind of different from the topic that we'll be discussing today. But at any rate, I appreciate you ladies, and I'm looking forward to jumping right in. I did ponder, because there are so many myths about relationships, and I think the three prominent ones that keep jumping out at me is you don't have to work at a already good existing relationship. That's false. If you want to maintain a good, healthy relationship, regardless of how good it is, you have to work at it to continue that pace of making sure that it stays healthy. I always bring my husband up because I've known him for 35 years. Just last week we celebrated our 35th of knowing each other. But I've lived with this man for 29. We've been married 28, lived with him for 29 years. And we have to work at it constantly. It's not something that we just wake up in the morning and say, oh, because I know you so well, that it's just going to go like a well-oiled machine. We have to work at it. So that is why we could say 28 years later in marriage, we still love and adore one another. And
beautiful.
Excuse me?
Oh, no, that's beautiful and very inspiring.
Oh.
I think that's important for everyone to hear.
Yeah, I think so. Also, another huge myth is that because you are, I think the term happily married and, oh, you're happily involved in a relationship is also another falsehood, because with anything, you're going to have problems. It's how you resolve issues that makes the world of difference. I would love to say that my husband doesn't get on my nerves, and vice versa. But let's face it, he does. There are days where he will scrape the toast, leave the toast crumbs in our butter, and I just want to go and strangle him. You know, that's on a low spectrum of relationship issues. But, you know, some people are, you know, I think they're afraid to say that they have problems in the marriage. I think that's a good thing, and it's healthy to say, you know, I may not like you this day, and that's fine. So many people try to cover up the fact that, I don't know, I think they believe that it will look bad on them, or they will consider their marriage or the relationship a failure if they say every day is not a good day. But it's how, again, you work at things and you love and most importantly respect one another. And that's how you grow and strengthen your relationships, not just in marriage, but just in any relationship. You have to work at it.
Definitely.
And if I was to, this, I always grapple with this one because a lot of people say that love doesn't hurt. Now let me clarify when I say that. If it is physical, mental, and or possibly both, get out. We're not saying that love, of course, we know that that is a toxic relationship. Love does sometimes hurt with disappointment with life. There are disappointments, there are disagreements, and it's not always, every day is not a bed of roses. And so I think that a lot of times people will say to me, well, why do you think, why love shouldn't hurt? Love shouldn't hurt. Now, if you're having just a relationship with your milkman or your daily news agent, you have a relationship with them. But if you go in there and look for your milk and he doesn't have it, it doesn't mean that you are at your wit's end or whatever. You move on because that's a relationship that doesn't mean anything to you. But when you have a long-lasting relationship and then you have life that is involved and thrown into the mix, then possibly you're going to have situations where love can't hurt you.
True, absolutely agree. Now,
Do you think it is possible for a woman to have it all and be successful as in it all, as well as a relationship and or marriage, family, and career?
Of course I do. I think for any woman, especially now in the times that we're living in now, we are living in it where women can do a lot more than our mothers and our grandmothers have done in the past. And again, it's followed up with a supportive family. I have a tremendously supportive family and an extended family. So if I just think about doing something and I do it, and my husband, my daughters, even my dad to my grandson, they are so willing to help me in whatever I do. And I am so appreciative to that because, you know, since moving here to London, I lived in America. I'm a Brooklyn girl. So, but I lived in Atlanta, Georgia for 14 years. And it took me to come over here for my husband to say, look, you wanted to do A, B, and C. This is a time that you could kind of like chill and take and do the things that you wanted to do. Now, I'm so appreciative of that because, you know, I had wanted to write for years and just kept always putting it off. And then for me writing books, and wanted to see my work on film, that is what led me into wanting to be a screenwriter. And I wrote my screenplay and I've even written for a couple of projects over here in England. And then when, you know, people tell you, oh, we're going to, you know, oh, this is great, we're going to help you put this on film. And then when that has fell through, that is the next step for me to do was become my own filmmaker. And that comes along with, like I said, just you have a vision, you tackle that vision and you execute that vision. But again, that comes along with having a supportive system, which I do. So I thank God for that each and every day.
Yes. I can't stress enough how necessary this conversation is. And you made some absolutely great points. And I think women can accomplish anything. And it makes it that much sweeter when there is support. Now, Andrea, do you think a woman has to be submissive to her partner in order for her relationship to be successful?
Oh, that would hurt me to be submissive. See, I know what the Bible says, so I don't. You have to be submissive to your husband, and so, of course, I respect the Bible. However, I couldn't be submissive in my relationship and do the things I wanted to do. Let's just say I'm very fortunate, like I said, to have a partner who will, as you just said, carry the torch, Felicia. But they, in some relationships, the men don't always appreciate the woman taking the forefront and doing so many things at one time with so many irons in the fire. So that would be kind of difficult because then what you're saying is, I'm going to give up on my dream to please someone else's dream. And I don't think anyone should have to do or live that way. If you know what I'm saying? It's just too many things now that women have that running their own companies as you two ladies are, you know, just being positive and doing what they want to do in life. To have someone in the background saying, I just think that I need for you to be home for me, waiting on me. And just wait on me hands and foot. That wouldn't work. And I don't think anyone should have to be submissive in order to meet their goals.
I agree. Now, in your book, Relationships, I think there are many women who can identify with the character Lane. So please, spill the tea on this juicy novel.
Oh, my God. You want to know something? You know, I don't even know how these three women came up. I think it's a little bit of the people, my daughters and my other extended family, female family friends. She is really struggling with herself. She's struggling with herself because she has some weight issues, but she's not too down on herself about that. But she's a bright woman, and her biggest thing is, she cannot leave her past relationship to go on to a new relationship. And this gentleman, and she's with Clay now, who is the CEO of a record label, who is any woman's dream. He adores her. He respects her. He, you know, will give her the world. But she cannot seem to leave this toxic relationship with Dre. And it's just, it's messing them all up, really. But she's a strong individual. She's a strong woman, and she's an intelligent woman, and she's a professional woman. But she just can't. And so that goes to show you sometimes as women, we can have everything, but it's just that one little caveat in our lives that we can't seem to let go that is holding us back from our full potential or our full happiness. And that is what is causing Lane problems at this particular time, which I'll have to send you ladies a copy of the sequel, Forbidden Seduction, and you'll kind of see how it ends up with the three of them, actually, with Lane, Clay, and Dre.
I can't wait to read it. I'm excited. Now, I know that Forbidden Seduction, that book is the conclusion to relationships. What surprises
yes.
can your readers expect?
Oh, if I give you even just like a little tidbit, it lets it off. But I will say this. Sometimes your closest allies could be the ones who will hit you the most, and you just have to, read it. You just have to read it to understand where I'm going with this, because it is such a big dropper in this novel, because you have three strong women who all have wonderful relationships, and then, you know, sometimes you have to know, can you trust who is in your circle?
Mm-hmm.
True. We're very well aware. Now, well, Andrea, dining with you has been so fun, and we hope to have you again. So please, please tell our listeners where they can find your books as well as how to find you online.
Well, you can find my books on Amazon.com or any other of the online major websites. And you can also find me on Facebook, Andrea Solomon Burke, and at Miss Relationships, that's MSRELAYTIONSTIP on Twitter, and the same on IG. Just add the S. So it's Miss Relationships on IG and Miss Relationship on Twitter. And I would love to connect with you guys. So hit me up and I will return the follow or like your pages.
Yes, great. Thank you so much, Andrea Solomon Burke. Thank you for stopping by Dine on Life, and we'll dine with you next time.
Thank you so very much. Enjoy your morning, ladies.
Thank you. Enjoy your evening. Have a good night.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, Dine on Life listeners, it is that time again. We are taking a quick moment to pay some bills.
Indeed. So, Dine on Life listeners, if your Land or Range Rover or Jaguar vehicles are giving you problems, don't rid of your luxury vehicle. Instead, contact Elite Auto Parts to get you back rolling again.
Elite Auto Parts is an auto dismantler for foreign cars specializing in used Jaguar and used Land Rover and Range Rover parts. They offer financing, and they also ship across America. Go to EliteAutoParts.com and place your order today.
Yes, and if you're in the Southern California region, call them directly at 818-767-0445 and tell them that Dine on Life sent you.
All right, today's positive tea segment includes 10 relaxation techniques to help reduce stress quickly, according to WebMD.com. Now, as I often say to my customers, relax. You deserve it. You don't always need a weekend retreat, and by using these tips, you can go from OMG to OM in less than 15 minutes. So we'll start off with number one, meditate. In a few minutes of practice per day can help ease anxiety. Focus on a positive mantra and let any distracting thoughts float away. Two, breathe deeply. Take 5 minutes of break. Focus on your breathing. Remember, inhale through the nose, exhale from the mouth. Three, be present. When you spend time in the moment and focus on your senses, you should feel less tense. Four, reach out. Talk to others, preferably face-to-face. or at least on the phone. This is going to actually help you keep a strong connection as well as give you a fresh perspective. Tune into your body. Mentally scan your body to get a sense of how stress affects it each day. 6, decompress. Place a warm heat wrap around your neck and shoulders for 10 minutes. Close your eyes and relax. 7, laugh out loud. Seriously, watch a comedy, talk to a friend who makes you laugh. It actually lowers cortisol, which is your body's stress hormone, and it boosts brain chemicals called endorphins, which helps your mood. 8, crank up the tune. Not much of an explanation needed there. Think at the top of your lungs while you're at it. 9, get moving. You can run, jog, walk around a block, up the steps, stretch. All forms of exercise can help ease depression and anxiety. And lastly, but gratefully, not least, 10, be grateful. Be grateful for your blessings. And it cancels out negative thoughts and worries, according to Joni Emerly, who's a wellness coach in Greenville, North Carolina. And as we always promote on Dine on Life, positive vibes only.
Yes, positive vibes only. Literally, that can change your life. I mean, even think about this, though. Like, when you're in a negative state of mind, that affects your performance. If you're trying to accomplish work-related tasks or if you're interacting with friends or family members, that negative energy, it can become contagious, and it really affects your day. Now, when you go to bed at night, it's a whole day wasted. So, I mean, personally, I start my day off with the first tip that Jasmine discussed, meditation. And I think taking an inventory list of yourself and writing down the things that you're grateful for can really allow you to live in the moment and help you to relax. I mean, what's the point of being all tensed up anyway? Put wrinkles in your forehead.
Yeah, no, and we don't want to be older than we are. So that's not the goal. Okay, so here at Dine on Life, we have created a list of gender expectations that easily falls into the category of stereotypes and myths.
Yeah, all right. Now, this is going to get pretty interesting.
Exactly. So we are going to start with the male gender expectations. For me personally, of course, again, I'm married. But I will say, just speaking on myself prior to being married, my expectation was, and my husband probably didn't like all of this, but I also want to just put a disclaimer out there. I was raised by a man, okay? So as my husband, you should pay all of the bills. Why not? My daddy did it. You should pay every last bill. I don't think I should be responsible for anything unless it's very simple, like maybe I'll pay the taxes on the property, or maybe I'll pay the maybe the phone bill. I don't know, depending on how I'm feeling that day. But everything should pretty much be in your name. Doesn't have to be, because I still need stuff in my name to protect myself, but I'm saying you as a man should be taking care of it anyway. I think most of it should be in your name. I think you should be opening doors. It is your responsibility to teach my son how to be a man. It's your responsibility to teach my daughter what type of man she should want to be with. Mm-hmm. I guess what is almost expected of a man is what I expected in my relationship. Again, I was raised by a man who did these things, so please don't hate me, fellas.
You know, I agree. I believe that men are the head of the household. They're the leader of the tribe, the leader of the family. And I think it's a balance, because when you think about it, how you just described your gender expectations of a man, look at it for a woman. And I know you're about to dive into that, but women, we are the one carrying the children 9 months at a time. We have to breastfeed them for months after they're born. We're the ones who take care of the house. You know what I mean? So it can become time consuming. And for those of us women who still elect to go out into the professional world, that's a whole nother job right there. So I agree with your gender expectations, absolutely.
I agree with it too. All right, so what, as far as the female, we're going to go into the female gender expectations, and I guess it's kind of pretty much you kind of said the handful, but it's stuff that I do. I take care of the home, I take care of the kids. I take care of the kids. I did have to stop myself from doing a few things as far as, like, taking care of the kids. I think in my mind I thought as a woman that's what I'm supposed to do, but after getting married it was like, you know what, no, like, we have these kids, or just after having children, period, we have these children together, and it's not just my responsibility to take care of them. This is something that is 50-50, and when it comes to helping doing homework, if I have to work, you have to work by helping them do homework. Let's see. Cleaning, I am very big about my kitchen, but you got to understand my business started there. I touch the kitchen. Nobody else touches that kitchen. I need to make sure I can clean the way it needs to be cleaned. But, yeah, you know, do the cooking, do the cleaning, do the laundry. I don't have fun doing it, but I do it. And so, I mean, just your basics, that's what I thought what a female was expected to do. I did it.
Absolutely. So to further extend the subject of gender expectations in a relationship, there is also an interesting article on the website Psychology for Everyday Life titled, "Is Sexual Stereotyping Affecting Your Relationship?" This particular article jumps right into the gender expectations that is promoted through media to the masses, as well as it acknowledges the advances that are being made to push towards equality between the sexes. Here is an interesting insert, and I begin, quote, "Typical stereotypes of women involve them being helpless, emotional, sensitive, unstable, and irrational. Personally, women can easily form deep emotional attachments and are less interested in sex. Professionally, they are less interested in their careers and more driven toward marriage and motherhood. Men must be the best of all time. He cannot falter, be fearful, or insecure. Too often, men and women conduct their lives to preserve these illusions, and at times, men and women lay each other in order to preserve these illusions. In the eyes of society, men who openly express affection may be teased for being soft, sappy, or whipped, and women who seek power have been called ruthless or bulldozers." Dying on Life listeners, that was a handful. Please go to our comment section on blogtalkradio.com/Dying on Life and Dying on Life and serve your hot dish, because that was a handful.
Yes, it certainly was. But I guess I would have to kind of go back into who wrote this?
All I could do was give the side eye.
God, they're so biased. Who are you hanging with? Like, who was your mama? How was life growing up? That's kind of all I can say about it, but I would love to hear what I was in. All right, well, Dino Life listeners, today we serve the hot dish on our final segment of Stereotypes and Myths in Relationships with our special guest, Andrea Solomon Burke, and we spilled the tea on some really great relaxation techniques.
Yes, so go to our site, blogtalkradio.com/Dying on Life, and serve the dish on your opinions of what we talked about today. Also, like and follow us on Facebook for daily motivational positive updates at facebook.com/Dying on Life.
And don't forget to read the updates and our opinions on our website, dyingonlife.org. When we serve the dish on real life experiences and share our opinions on news.
Yes, so thank you all so much for tuning in.
We definitely appreciate it again. Special thanks. That was an amazing interview. And we will dine with you next week. Ciao. Bye.
Goodbye, Nick.
Bye.